preached up there, amen, and I said it three times. And each time I said it louder, and they got really, really loud. And when they got all done, I said, now, when Terry comes back next week, I said, I want you to holler and just amen and let it go up there. And I said, if you have a real good amen, really get let it go, you'll probably have a heart attack or something. I don't know what he'll do. But he does amen down there anyway, and he did had a good time. So I give you thanks this morning, and God bless you. And I want to fill in now as Bill's been here, and want to talk about evangelism. And the answer is get going. Evangelism, get going. That ought to be the maybe I'll go back home. It's a pretty good message right there. But I'm big on evangelism. I've been since I started when I was 35 years old when I became a church. And it wasn't very long. They told me I'm supposed to get out and knock on doors and talk to people and so forth. And back then we used to put films up we could take out and you had to carry stuff with you and wrap things up and all. There's a lot of things to do and so forth. But they told me I was supposed to do that, so I did that. And some of them didn't say anything about it. But you know what? Some people started saying, I'll become a Christian and so forth. And we were baptized into Christ, and thank God. So I simply started back then, and God was blessed. And I've been talking about evangelism ever since. Get going and so forth. How to go and how to build the congregation and so forth. And we talk about it, and we need to do it more, I guess, probably. I've got a book here called When God Builds a Church. And this was by Bob Russell, and a lot of you probably have heard about him. Some have not. He's back in Louisiana, or Louisville. And he started working at one time, and somebody said he started in downstairs in a basement, and he had 50 people there. Eventually he got going, and then they started up a church building and got going 150 people and so forth. And they started talking about when God builds a church. And he worked all through his life of that, and up in the late 60s and so forth, and he's given away the church work and so forth. And he goes across the country, any place, talking about people, about how to build a church and so forth. So when I got this book, I wanted to read that, and I have. And if you never have, you ought to get one. It's a good book. It tells how to go about. Because he kept on doing what he believed, building the church and so forth. And from 150 people, when he left here just a few years ago, there were 16,000 people at Louisville. 16,000 people. And he's had another guy by the name of Dave Stone, was an associate. And he was a young man, and he said, Bob will continue to build up, and he's going to work with Dave Stone, and he'll keep building up, and we'll see what we can do concerning the church there and so forth. So that's what they did. And eventually, they let him preach more often, and then more often, and more often. Pretty soon, Bob Russell was not speaking hardly at all. Dave Stone was doing it. Had another man by the name of Idleman stepped in there with him and so forth. Just a small story, but just wanted to tell you what happened. They've kept on going. Bob's been out of that now for several years and so forth. That congregation is now running 25,000 people, winning people to Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's too many people in there. I ought to have small believers. Well, I like small congregations. I do. But I don't want to stay small. I want to keep on going, doing what God would have us to do. And if it gets more in here and so forth, we can start another congregation. That's been the plan here for quite a long time. It's time we do that. Let's do what God would have us do. Let's get going. Build the church and so forth. Now, I just want to share with you just a little teeny bit here about Bob Russell to talk about winning people to Jesus Christ. I want to share you in here. He talks about, and he said, I'm convinced that the best thing that could happen to our community is for a revival to break out in our churches. And then he says, change the community. The best way to change the community is to win one soul at a time to Jesus Christ. And I like that idea. Don't worry about trying to get a lot of people in here. Just get one. Just get one. When I got one, I'll get me another one. And you can do the same and so forth. God bless you. And I'm telling you what, I'm convinced that people can do an easier job than people think they are. And before I'm done with the scripture, I think you'll go along with what I'm talking about. He said in this message, and you've heard this before, the main thing is to keep the main thing, that the main thing is the main thing. And I like what God had to say concerning that. Now, I had a couple passage I want to show us. This is Bob Russell and talking about his mother. But he said, "But Mom also went to talk with my cousin Deanne, a 62-year-old retired school teacher, a graduate of Allegheny College, and a very intelligent woman. My mother boldly but gently said to her, 'Dina, you need to become a Christian.' Dina got tears in her eyes and said, 'Yes, I know it.'" Well, message goes along and says, "When I talked to my mother on the phone several days later, she was elated. It was a wonderful day in church. There were 240 people in attendance, and Deanne Lint was baptized." Listen to this. "My 83-year-old mother has grown up attending the church, but she has never lost a passion for evangelism. She's still seeking the lost, still keeping the main thing, the main thing." And I say, praise God, praise God, praise God. 83 years old. Friends, I'll tell you what. I've had people say it over and over again. I'm older now and so forth. We'll let the young people do it. I'm just going to sit back here and so forth. I'll be regular and so forth, but I'm not going to do anything. Well, I'm saying don't stop that. Now, quit saying that. Now, listen, if I have to keep doing, I can't get younger. I've got to get older and so forth. I'm 79 years old and so forth, but I'm still saying let's win people to Jesus Christ. I still believe it with all my heart and soul. I'll give them ideas about what happens and so forth. Well, so this is a congregation here by the name of Gary Whitnack and so forth. Had his two sons, and he went to Notre Dame. He said, "Welcome." So when he handed his ticket to the ticket taker, she said proudly, "Welcome to Notre Dame." That one statement impressed me. Gary said that it set the mood for everyone entering the gate. It went along. Gary went to get something at the concession stand, and the attendant said, "Welcome to Notre Dame. May I help you?" When he walked to the top of the aisle, his usher said, "Welcome to Notre Dame, sir. Did you need to help you and find some way for your seat?" Well, Gary said, "Yes, I couldn't find her, but I'll take you to the aisle." And he took her right down to the area and put it in here and so forth. I simply do want to say something. Every place you go now, and has for a long time, when you go up there, if you want to go get ice cream or get a popcorn or do whatever you want to do, you're going to hear people say, "Welcome to Notre Dame." I'm saying, "Welcome to Grand Ledge, the Church of Christ," and tell them what it is and so forth. And I'm getting tired of this business of telling, "Well, we'll change it to a different name and change." A bunch of foolishness, I think, and so forth. Let God have what He wants us to do. Many years ago, I read a Herschel Ford book in which he wrote about a tour guide showing a group of people through Westminster Abbey. After the guide boasted about the classic architecture, the expensive appointments, and the famous celebrates who had worshipped there, the guide asked, finally, after telling about this beautiful place and the architecture and all the things brought up, said, "Is there any questions?" One plainly dressed elderly woman said, "Yes, sir. Has anybody been saved lately?" Oh, man, look, he's putting it on, isn't he? So forth. But God will do what He has to do. So I wish I had more things I could show. This thing is just absolutely full of ideas and so forth, people showing what people can do for Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to have a lot of time. I'm not going to give you illustrations and joke business and so forth like that, because I'm serious. We're talking about evangelism, and I think it's time for all of us to do more. I need to do more than I've done before. That's pretty simple, and I'm not making a joke about it or anything. That's business. That's business we talk about. I want you to go in your Bible and get to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, I'm going to look through verse 26, and I'll get it back here and so forth, find it myself here. In Matthew of 28, and look at 16, and see what the Scripture has to say. Now, I put together four different items, and I may not get four of them. I think I'll probably wind up with three. I'm going to run out of time. But I told people what I wanted to talk about. And I thought first, after everything I talk about on evangelism, on winning people to Jesus Christ, when I get to the end, I'll come back here with Matthew 28 about the Great Commission. You've all heard it before. Most of you have. Want to hear it again and so forth. But listen to what God has to say. And now I've changed it. Instead of putting that to the last thing I want to put it, I put the first thing up here. And then you'll understand why I want to go to the last thing when I get done. In Matthew 28, verse 16 and following says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" It's an old story, an old story. Now I just want to go back quickly and look at it. Well, there's a part of that that sometimes I have a difficult time, and I don't pick it up on here. He talks about in verse 17, when they saw him, he's talking about the 11 disciples in verse 16. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Ever talk about that very much? Ever talk about that very much? Well, why were they doubtful? What's going on? They're talking about Jesus. This is the end of Jesus Christ here. This is back to the end. It's back to salvation. It's going up on cross and so forth. And yet, after all he's done, they're doubtful. And there was one there. And their family, many of the family, even their own people, didn't understand him, didn't believe him, and so forth. It's a kind of a sad situation for me. And it still bothers me. It still gets sad about me. But I want to, need to understand, we need to win people to Jesus Christ. No doubt about it, my friends. No doubt about it. Some were doubtful. All were given authority, it says in the Bible. So no doubt about that. When he said, that's all authority. Then he said, go therefore and make disciples and so forth. No doubt about that. That's what we're supposed to do. All nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then verse 20, and observing all that I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and so forth. Go, go, go. There's no doubt, no doubt. We need to do what God wants us to do and give him praise as we get started. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because we've been here. Most of us have been here and so forth. If people have not, well, I want you to go back and read it again. I want you to go back now to Romans 12. And I don't remember whether, I've only spoken a time or two for you here, and I don't remember if you talked about Romans 12, but I'm big on Romans 12. You can get in here and so forth. I'm really big on this because this is where it comes down to what's going on and seeing what we can do and what we can't do and who we can and who we can't and so forth. And I'm going to tell you that you're saying, well, it's hard to get people to win people to Jesus Christ. No, it is not. No, it is not. You hear me? I don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that. But I think we missed the boat here and so forth. We make a big deal out of it. We think, well, I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to knock on some doors and ask them, well, are you a Christian and so forth? And I've got some Bibles here and I want to talk to you about. And, you know, for some people that's easy maybe. But for a lot of people that's not easy. That's not easy. Even if you know the Scriptures, it's hard to get up there and get people to talk about it. But let's just do what God tells us to do in the Bible. And I wanted to put a point into this scripture, and I wonder how many different places can we, how many different ideas where Jesus told us we ought to do something. What we ought to do, what we ought to do, what we ought to do. So I want you to look at it. In Romans 12, in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that will that the will is, of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect or complete," and so forth. This is a great sermon here. Man, this is a great sermon. And when I was young and started preaching and so forth, I really love that thing. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Holy mackerel, I preach on that. And I got opportunities to go to revival and so forth. And whenever I'd go to revival, I'd get old Romans 12, 1, 2 up in there. And I just prayed, just really went after that thing. One day I kind of looked at that and I started looking beyond 1 and 2. And I thought, oh, back there it tells you what you're supposed to do now. Now you're supposed to do it. Something will be transferred. What's going to happen? So forth. So I'm going to go back here and I want you to pick up to verse 6 and verse 8. Because, you know, listen, this is what the God tells us according to His Word. You need to be that transformed and all of that and so forth. Then what are we going to do to win people to Jesus Christ? So in verse 6, He's going to tell them. I'll start with verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function. You hear that? We don't all do the same thing. We don't all have to go knock on doors. We don't have to all come up here and preach the gospel and so forth. We've all got different jobs to do. And once I figure out, hey, I got some easy things. I got some things here I can do. And some of you and many of you are already doing it. We just need to continue on. Verse 5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one another. Now, verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. See what he said? It doesn't say everything is supposed to do everything here. He said some of us are supposed to do some of those things. And he said at the end of verse 6, he said, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. In other words, prophecy talks about preaching. It really means, if you look in the Greek text, it really is talking about preaching. And it doesn't mean pulpit preaching and so forth, but preaching, getting out and spreading the word to some people. Some people are good at that. Some people are easy with that. Others are not. But that's one thing you talk about. Number two, he said, he who is service, in verse 7, if service in his serving. In other words, if you've got service, use it. Start using it for God. I love this one here. I love this one because I think everybody can do this. Everybody can do something. Everybody can serve in some way. I can go help people out at least. Maybe I don't know a lot in the Bible or something, but I can go help some lady to go get the grocery store or something. I can go out and clean up the car, and I can work in the garage. You can do all kinds of things you can do. Service. That's just service work. And we ought to all have service work. That's not easy and not difficult and so forth. God just encourages. I love that on servicing and so forth. Then he goes on. He said, well, some are teaching. Some teach and they have teaching. Some people have ability to that. Some do not. Some do not. Don't worry about it a whole lot. But if you can, if you have able to teach a little bit in some way, in Sunday school, helping kids, help your own family people, teach whatever way God would ask. Verse 8, he goes on and he said, exhort. In exhortation, that word really is the word encouraging. That's exactly what it means, and that's big. Encouraging. I am an encouraging type of guy. I just always have been encouraging. I like to work on people and see how people are doing, and I like to call the people, knock on them, and say, how are you, and help, and so forth. Just, I encourage you, and so forth. So if you're involved in that, do that. Then he talks about some who are givers. Some people are givers. They have liberality. They have money. Money, money. Well, praise God Almighty. How are you doing with your giving? Could you give a little bit more? Could you help a little bit more and so forth? I don't know where you're at, but God knows where it is. Then he talks about leads. Some people are involved in leading. We have elders, we have deacons, and we have ladies that are service of people that do certain things about leading and so forth. And praise God for them. And the last thing he talks about is mercy with cheerfulness and so forth. Listen, I'm not going to go more about what we're talking about here. I've got the message for you. Almost all of you people, when I look this back here, most of you looked in the Bible and you found that. So I want you to find that. Romans 12, read 1 and 2, then go back and read 6 through 8 and read those things there and see, where am I doing? How am I doing? Some of you people have one good event. Some of you have four or five different things, abilities that you can do. Well, praise God. Find out which one you want to go and get moving. Go and get God and do what God would have us to do to win people for Jesus Christ. So I want to stop with that. Now I want to think about Matthew 25. And I got time to look at this quickly here. But I'm looking for different ideas that I told you that God is looking for, how He can help us, what He can do for us, and what He can do to serve us and so forth. And so I look at verse 25 and look at verse 34. Now here we are again. Here we are trying to win people to Jesus Christ. What did I talk about? Money? About winning people to Jesus Christ? Yes, that does win people to Jesus Christ. Praise God Almighty that we were able to give that congregation in Mexico. They needed $30,000. And the congregation decided here together that we need to give that money to them. Not, you don't have to give it back. if you don't want to and so forth, we're just giving you $30,000 to meet it. That's giving, my friend, we're talking about. Praise God. And you tell me that there's not going to be anybody win for Christ for that, I'll tell you what, there will be people in Mexico that will be baptized into Jesus Christ because somebody helped them out, somebody gave him a little bit money-wise and so forth. So look at Matthew 25 and verse 34, and I'm going to go kind of quickly along this, but I want you to get the idea. He says in verse 34, then that Jesus will say to those on his right side, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, and when did we give you something to drink, and when did we see you as a stranger, invite you naked and clothed and so forth? When did we see the sick or the imprisoned and come to you? Verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to capital M-E, me, to Jesus. He helped them out. Yeah, listen to the people that they talked about here. I wrote that down just to get to one chapter on that and so forth, what he's talking about. But he's talking about hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, prison, so forth, on. He's talking about you're helping people out. More than that, my friends, you're helping Jesus Christ. According to that scripture that I just gave you, you're helping Jesus Christ when you help somebody out. And listen, pick of those things out there. How are you at those areas? Am I good about that? Maybe, maybe not. Whatever you can work in. Don't do all of them. Don't worry about trying to do all of it. Just find God to do something. Jesus helping you in some way. So I just want to encourage about it. When I think about it, I talk about how many different places could I find in the scripture where it tells us that Jesus tells us we ought to do this, and we ought to do this, and that, and this, and that. How many times do you think we would find down here? My, oh my, there's a lot of scripture up here. There really is. Just absolutely full of things that Jesus and God wants to help us and do what he wants us to do. So I want to make it easy, friends. I really do. And if it takes a little bit of work, then let's get to work and do it. Because I think we're going to make a change. I think God's going to bless us. I'm just absolutely excited. Now I want to go back to Matthew 16 and finish up as I look at the scripture here. And this one gets me. This is why I didn't give you Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel and so forth. You'd think that would be the place to really finish up for evangelism. That would be a good place. Maybe that's the best place. But I come back here to Matthew 16 and verse 24. Listen to the scripture. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will a man profit a man? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give to exchange his soul? That's pretty powerful passage. And I'm coming back to just one of them. And maybe I'll let you out here early today, even so forth. We're running pretty good. But I just want to share with you this morning. Verse 24, all that I've talked about, winning people to Jesus Christ, knocking on doors on people, calling on neighbors, going up helping my neighbors, and the wicked, and the helping, and on. I just put a bunch of things in there. There's only a few of them and so forth. And you tell me something, my friends, if people go out and do some of these things, helping other people, not just going through the Bible and anything, just helping people out, loving people, encouraging people, doing what they can do. You think people are not going to win people to Jesus Christ? Absolutely, you will win them. You absolutely will. And I could give you stories. I can give you stories right now and tell you why a person has helped and so forth and what happened. And I'm thinking about him most more of anything else in the world. If he'll deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's go evangelism, my friends. That's go evangelism. Any way you want to look at it. I just love what he said. Jesus said to him, if anyone wishes to come after me, that's capital M-E, Jesus, he, that's you and I, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow, capital M-E again, Jesus. So friends, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. That's all I want to talk to you about. I want to win out to people. I want to love people in Jesus Christ. We talked about love, 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 Sunday school and so forth. And we talked a lot of things about love. And we talked about hatred and so forth and so on. But I'm here to help you today. I want to share us. Things happen and so forth. I just don't want to make anybody feel bad or anything like that. But love is where it's at, my friends. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. There's a book written out by the same guy that had these books together, Dave Stone and another guy, Eidelman. And they put a book together called A Fan. Called A Fan, Being a Fan. And then they talked about the difference between a fan and a follower. A fan sounds good and everything, you know, like a football people out there, fans hollering, hey, man, it's just thrilled and excited. If we do more about that, about Jesus Christ, we'll get a whole lot more done. But people are excited and so forth and wanting to get going. But that's people want to do as a fan. But we need more people that are followers, ones that will get involved in somewhere, no matter what you have to do, get involved in. And I talked in the example. What kind of example? Well, he's about, we got a car, and I don't know how to drive a car. Well, how can we win the car and so forth? Well, you've got to get involved in and so forth and get instructions and read up there, and it'll tell you what you're supposed to do, and then look in your car and read about how the brake is up and how the gas is running up here, and look at that and so forth, and do all kinds of things you want to do. But sooner or later, until you get in the car and take off, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, the guy was excited, really wanted to go and everything. He was a good fan. You could count on him, but he never got a car. I know people that's never gone to car, never made it so far. So all I'm saying is help deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. Love, love, love. Just sometimes illustrations will pop out sometimes and hit you here, and I was at a home down the place here. And her name's Dina, and his name is Rob. So I know who I'm talking about. Listen, friends, I sat with you people, and we had a wonderful time, didn't we? Had a good time out here. Boy, she's good, too. She gives me some vegetables and stuff out here, too. Oh, I got the goodies out, good fresh stuff. She does a lot of work out there, really does, canning stuff up out here. Yes, she was. Making tomatoes up here again today and so forth. And Rob Bear, he's out here working and so forth. Now listen to me, this whole story. I come around in the living room, we sat and we visited and had a good fellowship. I said, well, let's have a time for prayer. And I was kind of set away from where him and her were at. And normally I like to give my hand down and hold hands and so forth, but they were by the way, so I just went ahead and prayed. And I laid down and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And when I got done, I looked up and Rob and his mother, grandmother, sorry, they already had their hands together. I wasn't close enough to get there, but Rob had her grandma and held her back up there and listened to me. You talk about evangelism. Rob just looked at his grandma and he said, I love you. That's evangelism. You understand that? I don't know if he knew it or not. I had to get out of there and move my hands out of there. I just hear him wanting to say he loves his grandma. He'd like to die just not long ago. You know that? He didn't know he was going to make it. They didn't think he'd make it out of here. But we praise God he's going to make it and so forth. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for this day. And Father, we need evangelism. We know that. Father, before I ever said that, they knew that. But Father, what are we doing? And what little things can we start doing? I pray that it'll change the life of these people. I pray that the people in every single congregation that's here today, hearing what we talked about today, that some people are going to do. I'm going to find out something to do. I'm going to find that this week, probably tomorrow, I'm going to find some way to come out and help somebody in Jesus' name. And I'm going to continue on. And I'm going to continue on. And even if I try to help somebody and they don't like me, I'm going to do it anyway. Because that's what you ask us to do, God. Well, I thank you, Father, for this congregation. Father, I wouldn't stay here if it didn't have a loving church in this place. I wouldn't stay here. I'd go find some other place. But I'm here, Father. And we want to do what God would have us to do today. So we thank you, Father. Evangelism. Go. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.